Michael Cera, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast.
Don't worry.
I
love you, Michael Cera. It's all good.
Sorry, Katie. Hey, Michael. Ando's in love with you. You can contact him via andocon.org.
All right, listen up, Michael.
Welcome to Nerd Burger, episode 45. Thank God I titled these in the file so that I can look at it and read it. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig.
And here we are.
Were you going to forget otherwise?
No, I just noticed that every time I do it, I look
at the file,
at the screen to read the number.
How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm getting a little excited.
Ew.
Not like that. It's
what are you getting non-sexually excited about?
Have you followed the Chaosmos Kickstarter?
I looked
Since
at it.
Since we talked with Joey?
I looked at it, yeah, a few days ago.
They're up over 76,000.
Whoa! They were in the 60s the last time I looked at
Eight days to go as of the day we record this. It'll be 4 days to go once we post this. People, get out there, put these guys over 90,000 because Craig wants his modular game board.
That's right.
Right now, it's just a game board. Everything's laid out the same way. Mm-hmm. If they hit 90,000, all the planets come as hex tiles, and you can rearrange your universe however you want.
Ooh.
Even more flexibility. So go pay money for a game that hasn't been made yet. Oh, guest time. Got the slow head bob going on there. Hello, Ando.
Hello, Craig.
How's it going?
I'm good, Mike.
He's into the music.
Well, oh, yeah, I totally am.
Well, because he's white and nerdy.
Very. I've even got the hoodie, the white nerdy hoodie from the video.
He was throwing the goat during the intro.
The slow goat, yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's doing it again. We should take a video later and put this up on the website.
Yeah, yeah.
Those to show of you how who white and nerdy I really
know the
am.
Secret link to the webcam, can check that out.
We're all naked.
Whoa.
No wonder Craig's excited.
Oh, well, Ando's a good-looking guy. If it was just you in here, I wouldn't be excited.
No. I understand.
So welcome, Ando. We'll be talking all about all sorts of nerdy stuff with you. We've got something very specific to talk with you about in a little bit, but we'll go. We'll get to that eventually. Right now, jeez. I suppose... There's a real quick notice for me.
What?
Another blog up.
Uh-oh.
Go read about my game. Woo-hoo. It's been up for over a week, actually. Whoa. I just forgot to mention it.
NewWorldAlchemy.com.
Murdering and acquiring. It's about my game, Murders and Acquisitions. People get confused by that. What's the game called?
Well, I've acquired in it, but I haven't murdered yet.
Yes.
Wait, Craig's blogging about his murders?
Whoa! imaginary, fictional game-type murders.
And how long has this been going on? The FBI hasn't gotten
Shut quit up, in. You're playtesting later today.
Yep.
So there's that. And I guess... do you got news over there?
I do.
I sure hope so. Want to bring me back up? Oh, there we go.
Me.
Well done, PowerPoint. What do you got, Mike?
Well, yesterday. Do you know what yesterday was?
Yesterday was Friday.
It was Friday, January 24th, 2014, which was the 30th anniversary of what? Computer nerdery.
Everybody who was born 30 years ago yesterday.
Yes, and?
I don't know. I'm just trying to help.
It was the 30th anniversary of the introduction of the first Macintosh.
Oh, here we go. Okay. I just...
Says the guy who does a podcast that is recorded, edited, and produced exclusively on Macintosh equipment.
But not by me.
But not by you.
I know.
Facepalm.
So, we've talked about the Macalope before. Remember the Macalope?
Yes, that's the mythical...
half Mac, half
Got a
fluffy tail and
antelope
antlers,
which is three halves if you're counting at home.
Man, bear, pig. I get it.
Well, he's got a little few words to say on the 30th anniversary here. His thing is that he makes fun of tech pundits,
okay,
who write ridiculous articles,
okay,
and somebody apparently wrote a ridiculous article about Apple,
okay,
Max in particular. So, and this also calls back to our discussion about the Apple tax and how that doesn't really exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. This week marked the 30th anniversary of the Macintosh, so what better time to reflect on all the money you numbskulls have wasted on Apple products over the years? Take it away, Reuters' Beth Pinsker. Headline, your money, the cost of being an Apple fan can add up. This is, of course, literally true in as much as costs can be added into an aggregate figure, but that's not what Pinsker means. And I'm going to use a different voice for her quotes. Apple Inc.'s Macintosh computer, which celebrates its 30th anniversary on Friday, has attracted many fans who have gone on to buy lots of other devices from the company. It's weird, creepy even. It's almost as if they like the company's products. Or, Apple has laced its products with some sort of addictive substance like nicotine or heroin. It could be irresponsible not to speculate. Pinsker details the amount that some people have spent on Apple products over the last 30 years because big numbers! Her examples of how much people have spent on Apple products stand in stark contrast to all the other computer companies who simply give their hardware away for free. Over a few decades, the cumulative price of tag of new iPods, iPhones, and other Apple products can get very big, as some aficionados can attest. Pretty soon, you're just looking for the next fix. A faster machine, more features, a more productive user experience, better design. Where does it all end? A bitter spiral of anger, addiction, and nights spent sleeping in a dumpster outside Hoboken, New Jersey. That's where.
And technology addiction.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about.
So is this FOMO for Max?
Something like that.
So it's like MOMO?
Mm-hmm.
Fear of missing Max. So it'd be just FOM.
Mac rumors. January 21st, 2014, MacRumors.com.
Mm-hmm.
Apple falls behind Microsoft, Samsung, and Sony in new consumer experience survey.
Mm-hmm.
Apple slipped behind Samsung, Sony, and Microsoft. That's sexy. In a 2014 customer experience survey from Forrester Research.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how accurate any of this is.
Yeah, that's just one survey, and it's one that Apple's lagged behind for whatever reason. If you look at their chart.
Yeah, there's
because I read that.
There's a graph. It's pretty. It has colors.
Charts and graphs.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, another callback. Remember iFixit?
Right.
We talked about them. Are you familiar with iFixit.com?
I know.
It's a DIY website.
They publish repair manuals and guides for
everything.
Ripping apart all your stuff.
Voiding your warranties.
Yeah. And they sell tools and stuff and parts. Anyway, they do these things called teardowns, where they get the new product and they take it apart. And then they give it a repairability score on a 0 to 10. Is it 1 to 10? Anyway, it's a 10 scale. So they did a teardown.
Frickin' metric systems.
Yeah. I opened up a...
I want a 1 to 12.
Okay, architecture nerd sidetrack here.
Okay.
Why would a canopy manufacturer from Smyrna, Georgia,
right,
have their Revit model
in metric? Because I got nothing.
And did you know that if you import a metric family into an imperial project, that it will automatically convert? Your numbers will be all off. It'll be like, you know, 28.5.
Will it turn them into giants or little tiny people? Will it like make the model suddenly grow?
No, it converts the units.
Oh.
Anyway.
Quit boring, everybody.
Wait.
Talking about Revit.
Boring. You're boring, everybody. Quit boring, everyone.
That's our Revit sound.
Or oh my God. Who the hell cares?
Yes. I have that too. So anyway, iFixit did a fun little teardown of the Mac, which we'll just watch a few minutes of, but just, and we'll put it on the website.
Is there audio to go with this?
Yes, there's audio.
Okay.
Why wouldn't there be audio on a podcast?
Because we've done that before where we just talked about something that didn't have audio. Like a car wreck.
We're only a few weeks into the new year, and you'd think everyone would be talking about the Los Angeles Raiders win at the Super Bowl on Sunday. But instead, everyone's talking about that rad Macintosh commercial that aired in the third quarter.
Get it? It's kind of 80s themed. God. She's dressed up like it's the 80s.
Of course, we had to see what makes this awesome piece of tech tick. So we're going to take it apart. We should think of a cool name for that. Taking it down. Hi, I'm Gwendolyn with iFixit, and today we are so excited to see inside the much-anticipated personal computer with graphical user interface, the Macintosh 128K. No more typing in commands. It's like we jumped into the future, like the year 2000 or something. This display is a beautiful black and white 9-inch CRT.
Oh, God. CRT.
I love the heavily pixelated numbers. They're big blocks.
It's as if it was on that screen. That 72 DPI screen.
Wow. Ooh, neon laser lights.
15 screws and slid the machine from the rear case.
Fun okay.
Fact, now they're just showing you a slideshow of the guts,
and you can see all that if your monitor is not on the video, and we'll link to that.
We have had fun lately talking about.
I'll leave it running so you
kind
can
of nostalgic-ish things. That this is a mm-hmm. piece that was produced for that purpose.
Yes,
to be funny and nostalgic. Yeah. We talked at one point about the guy who just didn't get the internet. Back in 94 or 96, and he was talking about how he didn't think the internet was going to go anywhere. Go back and listen to the episode. It's a few episodes back.
Yeah.
Discovered this one.
Uh-oh.
Yet another person with absolutely no foresight. This is a guy that started talking about, he wrote a little blog on the difference between the standard television ratio. Mm-hmm. Aspect ratio and
4:3
movie aspect ratio
16:9 or 9:16 or 2.35:1 or whatever.
There's variations, but the screens that we see in our widescreen
TVs, is it just widescreen or is it anamorphic widescreen?
Right.
Yeah.
The screens now are 9:16, and you still sometimes get movies that have the bars at the top and bottom,
which is making even 2.35:1
even wider screen.
That's at full 35mm. Is that what that is?
So there was a time, if you recall, back when most televisions were normal, regular, three to four televisions, mm-hmm. and then widescreen televisions were just starting to show up. And when you got movies, also when you got a DVD of a movie or whatever, you'd put it in and you'd watch, Letterbox Edition.
Yep,
and would have the black bars and everything.
I remember that well.
Well, talking about whether or not this guy decided to talk about whether or not television shows like The Sopranos, which was doing this at the time, should be filmed in widescreen or not. First reason, it's done as a service to those forward-looking individuals who have bought widescreen TVs. Now, keep in mind, back in the day, there weren't a lot of them.
No, and they were ridiculously expensive.
He says, bullshit. There's no way a show with a national audience would decide to pander to the truly minuscule number of people who own these TVs at the expense of everyone else. It doesn't make sense.
I love how you went immediately into a redneck accent on that.
Second reason, the widescreen aspect ratio is more pleasing visually as it is better approximates the natural human field of vision, which is more rectangular than it is square. Bullshit! Though it may indeed be true that a widescreen format in some non-quantifiable sense is more visually appealing, that doesn't mean that there's any excuse for putting black bars on the tops and bottoms of the TV screen. And it goes on from there.
Is he actually saying bullshit over and over again, or are you just making my job more difficult?
He says bullshit. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, bullshizzle. And it goes on. And so dude that wrote this back in 2004 or so. Yeah,
10 years.
Well
ago.
Done.
Yeah,
hope you're still reviewing and commenting on where technology is going. Because
hopefully he has as much of a sense of humor about himself as that guy that predicted the internet wouldn't go anywhere does. Did you see that? I linked to his Wikipedia article.
I didn't look at that.
And he has since gone. Yeah, that was dumb. Oops.
Well, he owns it. That's good.
Yeah. He had a good sense of humor about the whole thing.
If you can't make fun of yourself, what can you do? I mean.
Since we're talking about technology.
Okay.
One more thing. What hard drive should I buy?
Whatever kind you want, because this is America.
Online backup company Backblaze they aggregated all of the statistics about all of their hard drives. They've got, big air-conditioned buildings somewhere full of.
Mm-hmm.
holding people's information running 24/7. And, you know, I mean, spinny hard drives fail.
Right.
Solid state drives fail too, but spinny hard drives fail because they have mechanical components in them. And they have a bunch of different brands. And so they just aggregated all of this information and can tell you which hard drives are better than others.
I like the word aggregated. Ando?
I'm trying to use it as often as possible.
It's a fairly sexy word. I actually got the chance last night to, in a legitimate way, use the word necessitated at work. I felt very proud of myself.
So they have Seagate, Hitachi, Western Digital, Toshiba, and Samsung. The Toshiba and Samsung ones, they only have 58 and 18 respectively. So they kind of threw those out because it wasn't statistically significant sample. So they looked at the Seagates, the Hitachis, and the Western Digitals, and they came up with Hitachi wins, hands down.
Go Hitachi!
Woo. Very low failure rates. Mostly the 3-terabyte drives, followed by the 2-terabyte drives.
See, I was going for, and the crowd goes wild. Yay.
And then the 4-terabyte drives. Followed closely by Western Digital, 1-terabyte and 3-terabyte. The Seagates, God, don't buy the 1.5-terabyte Seagate. A nearly 14% failure rate.
Woo.
As opposed to like the Hitachi, which is less than 1%. Yeah, you suck, Seagate. So we'll link to that.
You suck, you sucker.
I'm not going to go nuts with these today at all. We haven't been using them as much lately, so I thought I should catch up a little.
Use them. Use them all.
I read something.
And so did I.
I've read many things in my life.
Since we're about
I have a
to,
public high school education. Ooh. I had to read a few things.
Hang on, since we're about to pause here, let me just. No, it was the second segment in the MacLobe article. I read the third or part of the third segment, but in the second segment, he's talking about Intel came out with this. It was supposed to be like a cable killer television service. Now let us turn the clock forward to today, where a slide whistle, a pratfall, a seltzer squirt, a cowbell, and three beeps on a clown horn. Later, we see this. Intel sells internet TV business to Verizon. And I was like, hey, that's that exact sound effect that Craig has.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. So. Okay, I want to try something. That's going to be a first for Nerdburger.
Uh-oh.
This is going to be interactive with our audience. Audience, go to your Google machines. Mike, that means go to your Google machine.
I got that. I have a Google machine in my hand.
Prepare yourself to make a Google image search. I know that sounds dicey. Uh-oh. But ready to go? Okay,
yep.
Everybody at home, ready to go? Type in these two words, Atari Breakout, as all one word.
Oh, as all one word.
Breakout. Well, breakout. Breakout is one word.
I used to play that game.
Type in these two words as one
word. Watch the screen.
Oh. Ooh.
Grab your mouse.
Not that mouse.
It turns the images into the breakout game, and you can play it on.
Cool.
I loved this game when I was a kid. I had it on my Atari.
We don't have the sound going. Otherwise, you would hear boop. The little boop, beep,
oh,
boop, boop.
Sorry.
All that stuff. Oh, you lost while you tried to get the sound. That's okay.
I didn't hear anything.
But that's the point. I just wanted to show that. There you go. And that was the only one we get?
It might just be they don't do the blue ones.
Anyway. Mike, you really suck at this game.
Jeez.
Well, I'm kind of turned sideways away from the thing.
There we go.
And now it speeds up.
It's only making the sound on some of them.
It wasn't doing that for me when I was playing before. Anyway, that's enough of that. But
no, it's not.
No, it's not. I'm addicted now. Carry on without me.
All right.
I'm going to win.
This is the new Candy Crush.
Look, I got above. I got at the top. I got at the top.
Jeez.
Actually, this is the old Candy Crush.
All right. Let's see. What can we talk about, Ando? Anything interesting while Mike finishes up his breakout screen?
Yeah, I mean, while he's doing that, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about, I'm sure.
Why don't you?
I love it when that happens.
When you get it up on the top and it just bounces around on everything.
That's nice. That's real good.
Okay. Jeez.
Oh. Okay. It's a little
lag.
And now everyone's sucked in.
So, Ando.
Yay.
Tell us about AndoCon.
All right. Well, AndoCon is a geeky gaming convention that is here in Atlanta. It is, I say geeky because that's the audience that we mostly attract. We are gaming focused. We have board games, card games, role-playing games. We're trying to make that include LARPs, but we're having some trouble with that this year. But we're going to have also game designers. We are very friendly to people who have created their own games, as you yourself well know.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a number of industry guests demoing their games, doing panels.
Mike had one block left and he gave up.
I felt rude.
That's okay.
I was listening.
Okay. No, I know. So
having trouble with the LARPers.
Well,
like, who doesn't?
Well, it isn't even their group. It's just that we're having trouble finding someone who can, you know, really like lead that track. We're still looking
for
someone.
Very niche part of gaming, and to find somebody that's willing and capable of really.
They managed
running
to
the
find
show.
One on King of the Nerds.
They had a nationwide talent search. search, I say with dick fingers.
but
anyway, AndoCon.
Yeah, so it's an entire weekend. This year's in June. We were in July last year, and we really liked July, but by the time we were ready to reserve the hotel for this year, the hotel we wanted was booked from the end of June all the way through all of August, so we didn't really have much choice there. So it's June 13th through 15th, Friday through Sunday.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. That's
sweet.
Married on Friday the 13th.
Married on February 29th.
Nice.
Yeah. How many anniversaries have you had? Like two?
One.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, her brother calls it getting married expert mode. okay, so yeah, this year, June 13th through 15th, and anything that you want to do relating to gaming, you can bring your own games. So of course, we have a huge library because we've got a lot of people that we're friends with who own, 200, 300 games. And so, you feel free to
They're just going to truck them all in.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Bring in a flatbed.
Yeah.
I know there's one guy that posts on some of those meetups that talks about how many hundreds and hundreds of games he has.
Yeah.
And
it's funny, last year, I mean, we had like a set of tables along the end of one of the rooms. It was just piled high with board games. So, this year the RPGs are even going to be kind of at the hotel. There's a little separate building they call the pavilion, and the RPGs are going to be there. So we're kind of shoving the RPGs out there.
Oh,
so
sure.
So they're not going to
ostracizing us again.
It's just a matter of not disturbing you with all of the rest of the crap that's going to be going on, the gaming and everything. We're working on having some Magic Gathering events. We're ironing that out. Probably going to have some drafts going on. Some maybe even an EDH tournament. We're hammering out the details there. So there should be some really interesting stuff going on for people who are into that, which you two obviously are not.
Well, I played Magic.
What did he say?
I don't know what an 88's. I know what drafting is. I don't
EDH.
Know what EDH.
It's a format that it's a specialized format these days. I haven't played much Magic since I got out of college either, but one of my college friends is.
I haven't played much Magic since I realized I wanted to keep my money for other things.
There is that too. But I've got a college friend who is into that sort of thing, and he's running that. So okay. I just like, you know what you're doing. Take off.
Run with it.
Yeah.
Might you be featuring any special people at your convention this year?
Yeah. We've got a couple of guests. We got Sean Patrick Fannin, who created the Shiantar setting for Savage Worlds and is a writer for Dragon Magazine. We've got Eddie Webb, who wrote the 20th anniversary edition of Vampire the Masquerade. Kevin Lansing, the designer of Flashpoint. Then a local...
Dave's mentioned that. That's the Fireman game.
Yeah. And of course, your own past guest, Dave Lupo, who has
amateur hobbyist board game designer, as he has stated,
who has some really good games. I'm really enjoying the ones that I've been playtesting so far. And of course, who can forget the inimitable Craig Campbell, inimitable. Who has his own RPG, who will be featuring at AndoCon as well.
Ooh. And that's called. Wild.
It's called Mergers and Acquisitions.
It's all about all of Craig's murders.
No!
Oh, that's the blog. Sorry.
No! It's a game. NSA?
They're watching.
All right, so maybe I can convince
them. They found the link to the webcam?
Yes, they did.
Maybe I can convince... They have their own camera in here. What are you talking about? Convince Mike to come to the game? Or come to the convention? Play some games? puts his thumb over his webcam?
So, Mike, what would actually bring, what would be something attractive to you to come to AnnoCon?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm asking questions now. I'm asking the questions.
What kind of food do you have?
Well, there is actually a little cat.
Are there beds? Can I sleep the whole time?
Well, I mean, actually, we worked out a deal with the hotel. It's the Atlanta Perimeter Marriott. You can get a really good deal, and they extended it to 3 days in either direction. So anyone coming from out of town can stay there. The link is on our website.
So you could just eat food, watch people play games, have two drinks, and get drunk.
Get spectator sport,
and then stay at the hotel.
And then stumble across the street and go shopping at the mall.
Yeah, it's right across the street from Perimeter Mall, so walking distance.
Well, in that case, Allison might go.
Jeez. Or you could come play some games.
Yeah.
RPGs.
I wrote lots down of the board date. Games.
Oh, good for you.
You should totally go and
I'm going to turn him into an actual nerd one of these days.
Well, it would only make sense being on a podcast called Nerd Burger for the people running it to both be nerds.
Mike, okay, to be fair, Mike is geeky in a lot of different ways. It's just he hasn't been heavily into
gaming.
The gaming stuff here and there.
Well, we can fix that because we are very, very friendly to what we affectionately call noobs. basically, if you're interested in gaming, even if you haven't done it, you can still come and we will teach you. So anyone who is interested, our website is www.andocon. That's AnnoCon, andocon.org.
Org.
Dot org. Yeah, not .com. That's because .com is owned by one of those Eastern companies that buys up the domains and just
waits for you to
buy
it all.
And I'm not willing to pay them lots to get it away from them. So yeah, and there's
it's too bad that there's not a .com. Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking the same thing.
Ando.com.
That would be interesting. Get on it, government.
.com. He says, screaming into his laptop's camera. Jeez. Do you have anything else you want to share, Mike? Or do you want to go back and play some more Breakout?
I will when we're done recording.
And you'll win this time.
Well, you'll play till you get that last block.
I was going to mention one other thing we're doing is obviously as a convention, much like your other conventions in Atlanta, we have our main annual event. But we also have, depending on where you are and how often you feel like getting your geek on, we have a monthly event at the Raven's Nest in Marietta. That is the third Saturday of every month. And we also have a weekly gaming event Wednesday nights at the BBQ on Highway 92 in Woodstock. So if you're in any of those areas around that time, hey, the food there is amazing. That's a shout out to BBQ.
BBQ.
So there you go, Mike. Do you want to go to a gaming meetup at a barbecue place?
Yeah.
Seriously, I have awesome ribs there.
Can I get a plate of bacon?
Jeez.
On Wednesdays.
yes, on Wednesdays.
I was going to say, on Wednesdays, they have like 50-cent wings. You have to get at least six, but they're really, really good.
What? When would I eat less than six?
Exactly. I don't know. They just say you have to get at least six, but you can get more than that. 50 cents.
Okay. That's a good price for wings.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take your word
for
it.
Are they just barbecue or do they have hot?
No, you can have whatever heat sauce they
How hot do they get?
I've gotten the ones that are called hot, and they're not bad. They go hotter. I haven't really personally done that.
So. I'll look into it.
And all of you out there should, too.
They have something called gives you chemical burns on your lips and tongue.
I haven't heard of such a thing.
Because that's happened
to me. Using the ghost pepper thing?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
On my fingertips, my lips.
You actually had chemical burns.
I had chemical burns.
So it was good food.
I may have had them on my tongue, may have not. I couldn't feel it.
And in your esophagus and your stomach lining and your upper, the whole upper GI.
And the lower GI, thank God I ate ice cream after.
This is becoming uncomfortable.
I do this every week.
What were we talking about? Every time you drive over here, you stop at the top of the hill. And
I kind of pump myself up for it. I have to kind of be like, do I want to deal with Mike again for 2 hours?
Yeah, I passed him watching him, you know, psyching himself up.
Looking at myself in the mirror going, you can do this. You can do this.
Pounding the steering wheel and the roof of the car like Cameron in Ferris Bueller.
He's going to keep calling and calling and calling. I'll just go. I'll go.
I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. I'll go.
Okay, movie talk.
Movie?
We haven't talked movies for a not really in depth. We've kind of touched on a few
things. You've quoted them.
But yes, well, because we're dorks.
Exactly. I'm right there with you.
But Ando, you're a lover of the sci-fi and the fantasy and the geeky movie.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
What do you want to talk about? Let's just go. Let's just have a general discussion about dorky movies. I can talk about probably nearly anything you bring up. Mike can probably chime in on stuff. I've got a few things that I'm going to offer up at some point here, just things that people maybe have forgot, movies people have perhaps never heard of or have forgotten about.
Mm. Well, like one of my current favorite geeky movies is one that doesn't get a whole lot of love because who they cast as the star, but I'm a huge fan of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I had never heard of the graphic novels when I saw the preview for the movie, and I only saw the preview once, but I was at the Dollar Theater over in Marietta with my wife, and we're like, hey, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, let's try it out. So for, you know, a buck, we go and, and watch it, and I'm just like sitting in the seat just in awe of this, and then I find out, oh, wait, this is based on the graphic novel. So I got them, and I love them. I've read them through a few times.
And it's shot like great. A music video. It's like...
Well, in the video games, all the different, you know, the KO and everything like that. It's a great movie.
Well, each of the fight sequences is basically kind of a video game.
Exactly. And I know people give it a hard time because of Michael Cera. And, you know, I think Michael Cera gets a bit of the short end of the stick. Everyone's like, oh, he's always the same character. Well... First off, is that really a bad thing? But second off, I don't really see him as
Craig
that
thinks it
awkward
is.
A character.
No, I don't think that is. I think there are good movie stars who are just being themselves, and themselves is entertaining.
You've frequently made fun of him in that one character he plays in the past.
Okay, that's true. Michael Cera, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast.
Don't worry, I love you, Michael Cera. It's all good.
Sorry, Katie. Hey, Michael. Ando's in love with me. You can contact him via andocon.org.
All right, listen up, Michael.
Okay.
I'm getting uncomfortable now, Mike. Come on.
Okay.
Anyway, that movie.
Who's your favorite adversary? Who's the favorite ex? Who's your favorite ex? Have you seen Scott Pilgrim?
He has to fight. He has a crush on he falls in love with Ramona Flowers, a girl who is a delivery girl for Amazon.ca, and
she's a hot indie girl who wears like boots and leggings.
God,
and has
Mary
purple
Elizabeth
hair.
Winstead is gorgeous.
Amazon.ca specifically.
Yeah. Well, they're in Canada. So, in any case,
don't you know?
He falls in love with her, and in order to get with her, he has to defeat her seven evil exes. It's awesome.
It's the whole story.
It's awesome. I think
there's seven fight sequences.
I think my favorite.
Actually, there's six.
Yeah, there's
twist.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Plot twist. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But no, I think my favorite one is Evil X number 3, who would be Todd Ingram, the vegan, because
that's my favorite too. Yeah.
Because, I mean, being vegan
his,
just makes
his power
you
comes
special.
From being vegan.
I don't want to give any
joke.
I don't want to give
anything
away.
There's a punchline to it later in the movie.
And I don't want to give anything away for people who haven't seen it, but it's a great.
It's a ridiculous.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Because each of the exes has a theme. They have a thing that they're about, and his thing is that he's vegan. And it makes him a, you know, giant prick. Surprise.
Holier than thou.
It's not really a thing.
Exactly.
Dude, he punches the highlights out of Knives' hair. That's what's so great about it.
That's true.
I'm not a fan of Knives. I kind of like the fact that he punched the highlights out of her hair. Just go for it.
There's some really ridiculous little stuff in there, too. Like you said, like he punches her and knocks the highlights out of her hair. It's very video gamey and very heavy on special effects. And it's cut like a music video.
Yeah. And
if
like,
you're epileptic, don't watch this movie.
No, God, no. But
Google contacts Scott Pilgrim versus the World. We need to start making
list
a list
for
epileptics.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like he's in a band. He's the bassist in a band. Scott is, and the Sex Bob-omb, and they're
Sex
the music. Bob-omb. They're horrible, but they're amazing at the same time. I love it. And anybody who like I know kind of right now there's a big thing on the internet for Anna Kendrick, and she's in it too as his sister. So
yeah.
Wasn't he a bassist in a band in that other movie that he was in?
That other movie?
You know, which other movie?
You know, the other movie, Ando.
With the girl from the waitress show.
You know, that girl.
Yeah, the one from the waitress with the, oh, yeah. Was she
a bassist in Nick and Nora's
playlist? Oh, Nick and Nora's playlist. Yeah, I love that movie, too. I don't know if he was a bassist, but yeah. God, I love that movie.
It's centered heavily around music. Maybe that's why you're getting thrown off.
But that was another really good movie.
It's all about every character's, much of the dialogue. Right. And they're going to see bands play and everything.
Yeah, well, they're trying to track down this ultimate indie band that you never know when they're gonna
play
until like the night that they're performing. But that was another really good one that I disagree that Michael Cera is the same character in. He's not Scott Pilgrim in that one.
So Scott Pilgrim is the exception to the Michael Cera rule.
Well, he's still kind of the
I'm taking it for you, Michael.
Every guy. That's fine. He plays the every guy well. He's a adorable, likable dude.
Who you now like, but previously hated.
No, I mean, I think he just, he doesn't have the, let's put it this way. He does not yet have the longevity that other great movie stars who are just themselves most of the time, like Tom Jack Hanks. Nicholson. Hanks changes himself a little bit in roles. He throws on accents and does stuff.
I'm going to personally have to disagree with you with calling Jack Nicholson a great actor.
No, he's not a great actor. He's a great movie star.
I just don't like that. He's, for the most part, I mean, like, here's where I can go off on a tangent.
Let's not parse words.
Yeah,
the distinction I've made before, because you didn't listen to any episodes of the podcast, is that there are great actors and great movie stars, and great actors transform themselves, and great movie stars are just entertaining to watch, even though they play themselves a lot.
Here's where I'll be really controversial. Jack Nicholson's best role, The Joker.
Oh, get out. No, you know what? For a Tim Burton movie and Tim Burton, the self-proclaimed guy who never read a Batman comic in his life, created that movie and put Nicholson in there. And that was the Joker that Burton created. And that's the one that Nicholson played. Yep. That is a good version. Of the Joker.
No, I'm just saying that's
made by somebody who never read a Batman comic in his life.
No, I'm just saying that's the only role I've seen Jack Nicholson in that I've liked him in.
Okay, anyway.
Sensitive topic.
You gotta watch Cuckoo's Nest and Shining. And...
don't get me started on The Shining. That's one I could go off on years on. No.
Wow.
The 90s version with Steven Weber is much better.
There was a 90s version with Steven Weber?
It was a miniseries.
Two-part miniseries. No,
it's 3 parts. It's 6 hours. Ugh. So they could fit much more of the actual story in. It was much better.
Okay. Anyway.
So not a Kubrick fan?
No.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. We should get back to just talking about geeky movies because I kind of like a lot of Kubrick stuff. Anywho.
Except Eyes Wide Shut.
I don't like Tom Cruise.
He ruins everything he's in. Yeah.
Pitch Black.
Been a long time since I saw
Pitch Black.
That. Years
Jeez,
ago.
Mike. I'll have to loan you
Thanks
my
for
DVD.
Running these past me beforehand.
No. You want to embarrass me like you do on the podcast sometimes? Feel free. No, Pitch Black starring Vin Diesel.
I mean, I've seen it, but it was a long time
ago. It's like a sci-fi horror movie from 2000. He's on a ship with a bunch of other people.
He's a prisoner, if I'm not mistaken.
He's a prisoner being transported. They crash on a planet that has 3 suns.
I don't remember.
In a trinary star system. And once every bajillion years or something, this planet actually, and it has a moon, and like once every huge number of year, you know, months or years or whatever.
Once every 16 crap loads of years?
Yes.
Once every plot like number of years?
Yes. Everything lines up in such a way with the moon and everything that there's an actual a full three-way solar eclipse on the planet.
And three-way.
Three-way. And for some reason there's these crazy critters that can only exist in that can only exist in the darkness.
Yeah.
They don't come out into the light. And there's always light on this planet, so they always live underground, but when the sun goes down, all the suns go down. The creatures come
behind
out.
The moon.
Yes, the yeah. creatures come out. And it becomes a horror movie. And it's really well done.
So wait, the only time the suns go away is when they're stacked up behind the moon in the
like once every crap ton of years. Right?
Once every
so these
years.
Things live underground. So there are entire generations of these creatures that do nothing live but live underground, live and die underground for millennia.
For however
assuming.
Long, right.
So when the sun does go away and these creatures do come out,
mm-hmm.
they know where they're going, they know what to do. They've never ever seen it.
They just fly around killing people. I mean, it's a horror movie. What
they're
do you
monsters.
Need?
I mean,
okay.
The main thing I took away from that one is just Claudia Black was in it, and she's in Farscape, and that's a really good sci-fi TV show.
Rhoda Mitchell's in it, for those of you who like Silent Hill, the Silent Hill movie.
Oh, man, it's been a long time seeing that one, too.
Anywho, so there you go. For people who have not thought about that or don't know about it or haven't thought about it for a while, I like it.
I remember it wasn't like a bad movie. That was before I really knew who Vin Diesel was. Before most people know who Vin Diesel was.
Yeah, that was his first real public
and then he made
spotlight.
And then he made The Pacifier. Which actually was not a horrible movie either, but...
So what else? Scott Pilgrim? What else? Come on.
Put me on the spot.
Well, you should have come prepped with material.
Well, geeky movies. I mean, I've got an entire shelf on my... Shaun of the Dead. That's another really good one. Unless you guys have talked about that one already.
Well, we've seen it a bunch. You've seen Shaun of the Dead, right?
More than once.
That was one where I saw the previews and just knew I had to see it, and it did not disappoint.
That one hooked hooked me with the trailer. I didn't know those guys, didn't know who those guys were.
Not at all.
That
but,
movie,
but and like they, most trilogies, it's the best of the three.
What?
It's pretty solid. Yeah.
What do you mean? What
trilogies?
The Cornetto trilogy.
Oh well, okay. I thought you meant like literally the movie. Okay, no, but yeah,
no, three movies made by those same guys same kind of humor.
They refer to it as a trilogy.
Well, I hadn't heard of that. Okay, no, but they've made more than three movies. Like I've seen a lot of movies with those. With you know,
well, they happened to be in Paul, but that wasn't their movie.
I have seen Paul. I did not realize it was not.
And I don't believe it was directed by Edgar Wright.
No,
and Edgar Wright directed all the.
Yeah. Yes.
Hot Fuzz and World's End.
Although Paul was funny.
It was. It was very good.
Paul's really good. I was really surprised.
I loved Kristen Wiig's character. whatever Wig. You're supposed to say. It's two eyes. It can't possibly just be Wig.
Starring Kristen Wiig's long face. She has a tall head.
Why the long face, Kristen? What are you so sad about? No, your weird eye? Probably the weird eye.
That's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, there's the joke. A horse walks into the bar. The bartender says, "Why the long face?" Then I heard a variation on that was Sarah Jessica Parker walks into
you
bar.
You almost said Sarah.
Sarah, yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker walks into a bar. The bartender says, "You're a horse."
Now, Google image search Sarah Jessica Parker, you get the one with her and a horse, and then the one with her and Dee Snider.
Well, and actually, it's interesting you say that. The first movie I ever saw her in when I was a kid was Flight of the Navigator, when she actually was, you know, didn't look quite so horse-ish.
She was in that?
Yes, she was, and because she was the girl who said that she was going to see the Twisted Sister concert, so that's why it's funny they have...
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Look it up. Look at the freak up. It was that movie. It was one of my favorite. I drove my grandmother crazy watching that movie like five times a week. Seriously. I loved that movie. And she was in it. She was just like a teenager, maybe early 20s at most.
Wow. I remember seeing it in the theater, and that's the only time I saw it.
My first Sarah Jessica Parker encounter was, oh, crap. What's it called? Steve Martin movie.
Oh,
he's a weatherman.
L.A. Story.
L.A. Story, right.
Oh, that's a great underrated movie.
It is. Where the big... there's a giant electronic billboard that starts talking to him. It starts, mm-hmm. like, leaving him messages. He's driving by it every day, and it's telling him... Talking just to him. Talking about his life.
Nobody else can see what's on
the screen.
See
it, and he starts following its advice and completely changes his life. And at one point, he decides... He's Steve Martin.
Yeah.
He was younger at the time, but still looked like Steve Martin, so he had the gray hair. So he looked older, and at one point he decides, you know, to embrace life and da da da, because his life was getting stagnant. And he dates a very young Sarah Jessica Parker, who's playing this really off the wall. Like, she's this really weird, like, product of the hippie generation, ponytail, frizzy hair, wanting to, you know, she takes him to get an enema on their date. You know, that's their date. And this is like 1990. Nobody, you know, nobody outside of California knew that you could just go to a place and they'll flush you out.
Did they call it a high colonic?
Yeah,
or
something like
colonic
that.
Bath
irrigation.
Or something.
Irrigation.
Yeah,
irrigation.
Yeah. They had a word that wasn't enema.
It was an enema.
Colonic.
What this town needs is an enema.
Yep.
Jack. There we go. Bringing her full circle.
Yep.
But yeah, that was my first Sarah Jessica Parker experience.
We're going to pause here for a second while I find that Flight of the Navigator thing.
Dude, seriously, that's a very good movie.
Oh, right. In L.A. Story, her name is Sandy, spelled with it two E's.
Sandy.
And I think one of them was capital and one of them wasn't.
Okay, we're going to preview this to make sure it's... well, we'll just...
Oh, the
80s.
Get
away!
So who's that kid? Did he ever go on to do anything?
Hi. No.
I'm Carolyn McAdams.
There she is.
You got to be real hungry after your trip, right?
What is this thing?
That's Ralph.
Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Robotic assistant labor facilitator.
Oh.
Actually, what he does here is he delivers mail and supplies, and he messes up a little bit every now and then.
See, she's got to be like just a teenager right there.
So.
She's got a really squeaky voice.
Yeah.
Who did you murder to get put here maximum security?
No one. I'm a national security secret.
Oh. Well, in that case, I shouldn't be talking to you at all.
Wait a sec.
How come Sasuke Witch is on? That show was canceled a long time ago. That was my favorite show. What's this stuff?
It's a bad music video from the 80s. That's what that
You've
is.
Never seen a music video before?
That's not a music video.
Been gone for 8 years.
Gone where? Outer space?
Jeez, really?
Could be.
You know the line!
Dude, I watched it like 500 times when I was a kid.
I'm not the one with the purple hair.
Okay, she's about to mention Twisted Sister right here.
Oh, yeah. I went to a concert with some friends last night.
Really? Mm. My mom took me to see the Bee Gees a couple months ago.
Oh, the Bee Gees.
Who'd you see? Twisted Sister.
Oh. There you go, folks. It's not just a rumor. It actually happened.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened. You say Pixar didn't... There it is.
You're serious about being away, aren't you?
How'd you like my super fast horse sound search? Horse wav. Google.
Yeah.
No. Poor Sarah Jessica. Anyway.
Poor Ando.
Oh, hey. Nice. Hey, poor comma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my last name is like having no money and add an E to the end.
So it's a silent E.
It is. Okay. I actually had somebody ask me on the phone last week if it was like a more French, like pure.
Do you roll the R?
No.
Pure.
I mean, actually, we've done a little bit of genealogical research. We think that my dad's side of the family, the original immigrants to America, we think were French, but just, you know, because that's the family legend anyway, so.
So how'd you end up getting named Ando?
Well, I mean, obviously it's a nickname, but...
oh, okay.
Well,
is it obvious?
Obviously!
I wouldn't say that's obvious.
I hadn't met you before today, and I expected a Japanese guy to show up at my front door.
I've wondered about hiring somebody to pose as me, a Japanese guy to pose as me. Actually, when I first... like back when... I didn't watch Heroes when it first came out. And when Heroes came along, there's a character in Heroes named Ando. And I started like in college, people say, oh, like in Heroes? And I'd be like, I don't know, I guess.
Sure.
Then I started watching it. And oh, okay. Well, and he's one of the better characters in the show. So I was I was kind of happy about that. But no, legally, name's Andrew, but I don't go by Andrew. Never have. So.
What's your middle name?
That's a closely guarded secret.
Oh, crap.
Social security number, birthday address, telephone number.
All the things that the NSA
bank account routing number.
Have you murdered anyone?
Only in your RPG. Actually, I didn't murder anyone in your RPG. I was too busy throwing tools off of servers at people.
He was climbing around on top of a server rack.
I found a toolbox, so I started throwing tools at people.
The game's not really serious.
No.
It's time
as serious
travel.
As you make it.
Time travel movies.
Ooh,
do you like time travel movies?
I like time Back travel to the movies. Future is probably my favorite movie from childhood. And
so
it
like
is definitely
travel.
The movie I've seen the most. Part one.
Overall, I haven't seen that many, and people always give me a hard time, or did, because it took me until last year to see Back to the Future.
Oh my God.
And I still haven't seen the second or third ones.
You don't need to.
That's what everyone else said, too. So.
Like most trilogies, the first one's the best.
Check out Happy Accidents.
Okay.
Not right now.
Okay. Just going to start watching a movie, you know.
Vincent D'Onofrio and Marissa Tomei.
Ooh, I've heard. I heard about that. We almost watched it.
And it's almost. You should do that, but take the almost off of that.
Okay.
Because I enjoyed it, actually.
Oh, you know what?
It's essentially a romantic rom. I guess you call it a romantic comedy. Yeah. It's a romance story, but with a time travel thing.
Yeah.
It's not what you expected.
It was on Showtime when we had Showtime briefly, unfortunately, for the unfortunate final season.
It's on the Netflix.
Suckfest, Dexter.
Yeah,
The Netflix. Good.
It was a little while ago.
The Flicks of Net.
Flicks, comma, net with a silent E.
I know it's a more recent one. It's not one of the quote unquote classics, but Men in Black 3 is a time travel movie. I liked that one.
I haven't seen Men in Black 3.
I don't think I have either.
Men in Black 2 was, two definitely did not follow up on 1, but Men in Black 3 actually was pretty good. It was better than 2.
My friend Eric's remark about Men in Black 2 was, because he went to see it, and it was like a week later. And I said, so how was it? He goes, ask me what it was about. I said, what was Men in Black 2 about? He said, I don't really remember. I don't really remember anything about that movie.
Oh, he got neuralized then.
Well, that's wah-wah. But the point he was making is that there was nothing noteworthy. Nothing stuck with him.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as
it was just kind of, eh.
Yeah.
Nothing stuck. You know, week later he was like, well, there were aliens. That's about all.
That's a good example of one of the things that Hollywood does that really irritates me is they had, you know, they couldn't get Linda Fiorentino or whatever her name was back for that movie for whatever reason, and so they just conveniently write the character out, like, you know, the third most important, well, third or fourth most important character in the first movie, gone, inexplicably gone.
Well, no, there was a line that said something about ran off his other partner.
Yeah, that's right. They gloss over it in one line and move on.
Yeah, that was sad because I liked her in the first movie. She was really good.
Dead Snow.
Is that the zombie Hitlers? Zombie Nazis, I mean?
Yes.
I went and, see what I did there. I went and chose the most important Nazi, and I pluralized him.
Goebbels. yeah, zombie Nazis.
Pluralizing Hitler. What does that look like?
In the mountains.
Ninja Pirate Zombie Robot.
You have to see Dead Snow.
I
also
haven't seen it.
Also on Netflix.
Oh, good.
It's a Norwegian film, so it's subtitled.
I'm fine with that.
And it's a little bit self-aware. You know, they kind of
break the fourth wall a bit.
They don't directly break the fourth wall, but there's a couple of times in the movie where you're like, okay, they kind of realize they're in a zombie movie, where they play it up a little. It gets a little bit over the top, but it's got zombie Nazis.
that's kind of self-awareness is what I like about the first Scream movie. The fact that the rules to successfully survive a horror movie in a horror movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that that's kind of the point. It was a bit of a satire, but I mean, I like that sort of self-aware. A
little meta.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about, if you like that, then Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, I love that movie. That was so good. I mean, it's got Alan Tudyk from Firefly in it. God, I love that movie. It was great. Wash.
He played Wash, the pilot.
Grr, okay, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. Grr.
Yes, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Mike, also, I believe, on Netflix still.
Yes, I think it's still on Netflix.
It's it's the teenagers go camping in the woods and there's crazy rednecks out there,
like there are
horror movie, like there is,
like exists.
But it's told from the point of view of the rednecks,
and they're not really murderers,
and they're just two dudes who want to go hang around in their cabin.
Yeah,
and suddenly everything just spirals out of control.
They just
want to
drink some beer and go fishing, and these teens come up and keep accidentally killing themselves around them.
Oh,
like one dude literally is diving at, like, a couple people have died, and one dude comes diving at one of the rednecks.
Well, they decide they're gonna fight the rednecks. They're gonna go free their friend and fight the guys.
Yeah, and this dude is running wood
spoiler,
through...
Spoiler, spoiler,
spoiler. Spoilers, running wood through a wood chipper, and the teen dives at him right as he's bending down to pick up a new piece of wood and dives headfirst into the wood chipper.
And then he turns around and he's like, oh my God! And he grabs him by the legs and he starts trying to pull him back out, and that's when the other person runs around the corner and sees what looks like the redneck feeding their friend into the wood chipper by his legs.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
And without spoiling this, because it is a great movie,
okay, no.
Great moment, the chainsaw.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Need more be said.
No more. Yeah. Well, I don't want to give anything because that's a great moment where they flip it.
Yeah.
There's a chainsaw moment. Like, so check it out.
We've spoiled some of it for you, but we won't spoil all of it.
Well, sorry. There's still a lot of great stuff in there, and I'm not going to tell you how it ends.
Nope.
Because there's some pretty unexpected stuff at the end, too.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Dave's going to hear this and go, well, geez, now I know there's unexpected things at the end.
Plot twist.
It's spoiling me. Oh, well.
Ever since The Sixth Sense, everyone expects a plot twist at the end now.
Yeah, and people try too hard too much. There's so many that just fall over and fail horribly. Sixth Sense is where it really kicked off. Favorite plot twist?
Sixth Sense is a bad movie if you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's not. I've seen it like 10 times. Obviously, after the first one, I knew what was going on.
If you're the person...
The first time you see it, you know that he's dead and a ghost. Then
spoilers.
Thanks, way to go. Okay.
If you haven't seen Sixth Sense by now...
You suck.
You suck. You jackass.
Quick note, we're going to talk about twist endings in movies. If you don't want to be spoiled...
Stop listening
now. favorite twists?
Other than Sixth Sense, yes. Right. I also like The Others.
Didn't see it.
The Others.
Nicole Kidman.
Yep.
That you haven't seen it?
Nope.
It's a ghost story.
Yeah, it's a ghost story.
Spooky, moody ghost story.
Okay.
And the worst part of that ghost story is that if you say there's a twist ending, then there's only a couple of possible twists it could be, so it already puts you in the right mind.
We're warning all of you. If we say this movie has a twist ending, it means...
You haven't seen it, but we're about to spoil it for you. So.
Okay. You'll probably never watch that.
It's one where it's set in World War II, or shortly... I think it was supposed to be shortly after World War
II. It's a period piece.
Yeah, and there's a lady whose husband's gone off to war, and she's got two kids that are extremely photosensitive, and these three housekeepers come to take over the housework, and it's typical ghost story. And basically, at the end, it turns out that actually,
and they have to be in the house and have the shutters closed and everything because the kids can't be exposed to sunlight. They're allergic. They would die. What?
They're like me.
Yeah, they're very pale.
But basically, in the end, it turns out that everyone, the entire cast of the movie, they're all dead.
Okay.
She went crazy and smothered her kids and then blew her head off with a shotgun. But then, this is basically like purgatory or something.
And that's why they never go into the sunlight.
Yeah.
But they're ghosts and they have to live in the dark.
Except that once they accept that, they can.
Right.
At the end, they can do it.
Well, it's right. It's the typical ghost.
Oh, well, now you've ruined it.
Exactly.
Usual Suspects.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Yeah. I have not seen that
Whoa.
One.
Whoa.
But I mean, it's okay. We're in the spoiler zone.
No, I don't spoil it. No, we can't ruin that for him. No,
that's one of the great ones.
Oh my God!
Back before the twist ending thing became a thing.
When you're done with whatever you're doing today, go home and watch that movie.
If there's a movie
I'm
that
not
does
kidding.
It, I hate it when people tell me that.
Well, I'll say this, and I'll connect it to a story. That was an actual story. I'm not going to say which actor they talked to because that could potentially hint something. But in the movie. There's a group of criminals who get in the lineup. You've seen the picture, the box. It's like the five guys in the lineup and says The Usual Suspects. Mm-hmm. And the story goes along and you basically in time, you learn that one of those guys is not who he says he is, but you don't know who. And it's constantly all over the place. You never know who's who and what, mm-hmm. who's telling the truth and da, 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 da. And there's an actor who is in the movie who said he was like interviewed after the premiere. And after he had seen, because he didn't see the final cut of the movie until the premiere.
Okay.
And he was interviewed afterward and he said, did you know blah, blah, blah was the bad guy? And he said, up until like 20 minutes ago, I thought I was the bad guy.
Wow.
Because it was kept really hush hush.
Yeah.
See, speaking of like these spoilers and twists and stuff, I've actually got the t-shirt that's got 15 of the spoilers,
just the whole list.
Spoiler alert big time. The one like Luke's father with Darth Vader's mask on it and Donnie dies and the Fight Club Tyler Durden isn't real and the who shot JR and all the spoilers. Snape kills Dumbledore. Boo!
There are those who would argue that Tyler Durden is the only one who is real.
Well, true enough. And there's another one that I caught a lot of crap for because it was either last year or it might have been year before I finally saw Fight Club. But I have seen it. So
Fight Club's
good.
One of those movies that I watched a billion times shortly after it came out, and I've never watched it since.
Snape was bad all along?
No, he was good all along.
I've only seen the first movie and have not read the books.
Oh, well.
I'm a computer nerd, not the other kind of nerd.
I'm a little bit of every kind of geek there. Another one that everyone had seen until that I had not until like two nights ago or three nights ago was Inception.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I had not seen that one until a few nights ago.
Did you enjoy?
Yes, actually I did. It was a very well made movie.
Okay. Spoiler thing again. What do you think the ending means?
That the top was not actually his totem. It was his wife's totem. His totem was his wedding ring. And so at the end, it was real. He did leave. He actually legitimately did.
He's legitimately with his kids. Yes. He's in the real world.
That's what I took away from it, yes.
I don't remember the ending,
but okay.
Because
he said specifically, it was said specifically that the top was his wife's totem. It couldn't be
Well,
his.
Right, but they don't really say that it can't be his. It's a mislead during the movie. You think that maybe because the top's spinning and whether it will keep spinning or whether it will fall over, if you're in the real world, it'll eventually fall over. In the dream, it'll just keep spinning. That's how it worked for his wife. And he's got the top and he's always spinning it to kind of figure out where he is because he's always worried that he's going to trap himself in the dream like his wife did and think that he needs to kill himself in order to get out. You know, the whole. But the mislead is that it's the top is not his totem. It's told to you earlier on that everybody has to have their personal totem.
And if someone else touches your totem, it doesn't work.
But they keep showing him spinning the top, so it kind of leads the audience to believe that that's his. And so at the end, when he spins the top, and then he walks off, and you're left to think, well.
And the cut before it shows whether it spins or falls over. It's like, well, that doesn't matter because it's not his. So.
Right, but if you watch the movie, when he's either got a wedding ring on or off, and that tells you whether or not.
You see, back when the movie first came out, I had not seen anything with Ellen Page in her. That would have made me watch it. But I've seen like Juno and what's the other one? The Hard Candy. That's some. Oh God, that movie was.
Yikes!
That was
first Ellen Page
movie
I ever saw. She was very young.
God, she was creepy.
Oh, Scott Speedman.
I can't remember.
Is that who it was? I can't remember who the guy was.
God, it was a creepy movie.
It's like. Two characters through the bulk of the movie.
Wait, this is Hard Candy?
It's called Hard Candy.
Okay.
And she's only like 16 or something.
And she looks, you know how young and little she looks? You know, she looks even younger.
She's got the body of an 8-year-old boy.
Yeah, she looks even younger.
Okay.
You know, and they made her to look, you know, she looks like she's 13 in the movie. And she meets,
and I know that because I once was an 8-year-old boy and not because I look at 8-year-old boys. FYI. Getting that on the record.
She, spoilery kind of because it tells you what the movie's about, but I won't go to the ending of it. She meets this guy and they start talking and it's slowly revealed that they met on the internet. And then it starts to get a little creepy. And is he some sort of predator? And he's going to, he's a photographer?
I think so.
He's going to take photos of her and
that sounds right. It's been a few.
She goes back to his house with him, and it just keeps getting creepier and creepier and creepier, and then it goes hard left,
complete hard left. It's a twist, complete twist.
Okay, I'm going to have to make a list of all of these Midnight, movies I haven't seen.
Midnight Meat Train
and go watch them.
No, I don't think I've seen
that. Sounds grisly.
Dead Alive.
Well, I'm
Zombies Meet Lawnmower.
Okay, that's great. That's a good movie. I love that movie. It's got the most blood of any movie ever. But on the twist side of things, it does. The hero goes after the zombie hordes with the lawnmower held up in the air.
And there's also a blender.
No, there's all sorts of stuff. But the twist thing, Midnight Meat Train, you're following, essentially, there's a guy who starts, a photographer notices this kind of odd guy on a subway. And he starts following the guy and kind of taking photos. And then witnesses, like late at night on the subway when they're all alone, basically. And then he witnesses this guy pull out a meat cleaver and murder somebody on the subway car. And he takes photos of it. And instead of reporting it to the police, like you do, he decides to keep following the guy and taking photos. And he's basically documenting documenting a serial killer in progress.
Yeah.
And then it takes a hard left. It goes way off the rails.
I'm going to make a note of that. That sounds like a movie I'd like to watch. So
yeah, it goes like, really? Didn't see that? Wow. It was one of those ones where the hard left was so unexpected that I was a little pissed off for a while afterwards. It's like, but I wanted the movie to be this.
Now, this one isn't exactly a twist, but in the realm of the creepy movies, 1 Hour Photo, Robin Williams.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I know of it.
Man, if you... that one is like literally disturbing. Like we bought it on a, my wife and I bought it on a whim because it was like $5 at Walmart in the DVD mm-hmm. bin. But we bought it because it looks really creepy, and it is. It's a very psychological.
He's
thing.
A creepy 1 hour photo
developer
guy who gets obsessed with a family.
Yeah, and it's like when we finished watching it, my wife
through their
was
photos.
Just,
he mm-hmm. knows nothing about them other than the interactions he yep. has at the counter and what he thinks he knows about them from their photos.
But at the end, my wife was just like, "I can't watch that movie again. It's just it's disturbing." It's like I'm glad I saw it. It was good. But I can't watch it again.
Wow.
Is that going to do her?
Oh, yeah, we got it.
Okay, got plenty.
Plenty of material.
All right. Aww. Ando.
I had fun.
Good.
I think we can do something with this.
Okay, good.
That's good.
Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun. I hope that I will. I hope that I can be a repeat guest at some point.
That's going to be
a proper theme.
That's, yeah, that's going to be contingent upon you listening to some effing episodes.
Oh, ouch. Yeah.
Sorry.
Why are you holding him to a higher standard than everyone else?
He just said he wants to repeat.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're going to come on here twice, you got to listen to at least one.
Yeah. I'll listen to this one.
Not counting yours.
So I'm going to say I'll promote this one.
No. Mike, where can they find us?
Nerdburgershow.com, at Nerdburgershow on the Twitters and Facebook. And
at the Twitters.
Email us at nerdburgershow@gmail.com.
And if I may throw one last plug.
Go for it.
Andocon.org, facebook.com/andocon, at Andocon on Twitter if you're getting a pattern here. And if you just want to chat with me for some reason, which I don't know why you would, but if
he'll
you care,
be at your house tonight.
ando@andocon.org is my email address. Thank you, guys.
And NSA, ando.con.
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Talk to those other government folks. On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Mike confesses to his many, many murders, including several former government officials and at least one beloved Muppet.
What?
You just kept talking about me murdering stuff and the NSA okay. listening.
Yeah.
Take that. And it's worked into our outro so you can't edit it out.
I can't, no.
Bye-bye.
But I hate all the Muppets. All of them.
Nobody hates Beaker. Come on.
That's true.
All the things.
Although the effects are sadly temporary. It's my favorite Beaker moment.
Aww,
Muppets in space.
In space.
Let's go playtest.
Okay.